This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 6th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. I've got 3 hours worth of material, but I'd much rather hear what is on your mind. So 888-876-5593. That'll do it to it. 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. Yes, people behaving badly. We will get to it. It's surpassed the what were you thinking phase and gotten into just downright unbelievable. So we'll get there. But Johnny D has completed his missive, The Ride, which will play this hour. So you can hear his handiwork. And some of you were mentioned, of course. And he promises that more of you will be in the future. And we'll talk to Donald in Midway here in a moment. But if you want to make some money, well, $5.50 worth, then you can go ahead and join the class action suit for A&W Soda. You don't have to prove you ever bought any. You just have to say you did in the last 7 years, and they'll send you $5.50. So if you haven't heard, what the deal is, it's all over aged vanilla. And apparently, the cans touted that there was aged vanilla, and there isn't, at least not enough to be measured. And the sad part about this is if you drank a lot of this and really wanted to, had receipts and everything, the most you're going to get is $25. But you know there is a lawyer somewhere who is cleaning up big time, probably a legal group. So a New York judge preliminarily approved a settlement to proceed in the A&W Concentrate Company and Keurig Dr. Pepper, which, of course, makers of A&W root beer and cream sodas. And this Keurig will have to reimburse anybody who says they were deceived by the A&W root beer and cream soda labels made with aged vanilla. So this actually goes back a few years, almost three now. August 24th, 2020, it was filed in the U.S. District Court in Eastern New York, alleging the soda maker misleadingly stated that on the front of the product's labels that the vanilla was used, even though the vanilla flavor comes predominantly, if not exclusively, from an artificial synthetic ingredient called ethyl vanillin. Yum. And plaintiffs claim that consumers interpret defendants' representation to mean that the characterizing flavor derives from the vanilla plant, not a cheap inferior. All right, so I look at this, and again, I don't think I'd go the trouble to file for my $5.50, but that's not the point. The point is here that A&W is going to be out an awful lot of money, and you might be saying, hooray, rightfully so. Yeah, but it's not going to the people who drank the stuff. It's going to the attorneys. So, yeah, and do you know what's in the stuff you're eating anyway or drinking? Oh, my God. So, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. But, yeah, you can go online and, fill out something soon and get your $5.50 if you want to say that. I'll leave that to you. But, again, I want the full figures, and I don't have them yet, as to how much the lawyers got. Because you know it's a fortune. All right, Tampa yesterday. I'm sure you heard about this. And I'm sure we'll hear from Eduardo tonight more on this. And what happened was Tuesday night, let's find a good place to see the fireworks. Well, nothing better than Courtney Campbell Causeway right off there, probably near the beach in the bay. And it's that's the Ben T. Davis Beach, which a lot of families there. They got picnic areas and all that. And we've got some, you know, some waterfront stuff. And so a lot of kids playing. And so it was that a group of people with jet skis were buzzing the beach and dangerously close to the kids. And so the adults with the kids pretty much told them to knock that off. And words ensued. And next thing you know, there's a shooting. Now, I can kind of imagine that someone on a jet ski was packing. I mean, not usual, but I can envision it. It's the guys in the water. I'm not sure where they had access to firearms, but I shouldn't be laughing because a seven-year-old, an innocent seven-year-old, aren't they all, is dead. And what happened was it went from words about the jet skis to suddenly both sides of this, and they were apparently fairly young Hispanics in this case on both sides of the aisle from what everybody knows, shooting each other. Well, the grandfather of this seven-year-old who was the custodian for the child for a few weeks, he was visiting from up north, I think New Jersey, actually, I believe, but was really concerned. Obviously, bullets are flying. So he grabs his seven-year-old and runs to the safety of his truck. And he's in the truck and he's shielding his seven-year-old. He has his hand over him. Well, a stray bullet goes through the truck, blows off one of the guy's fingers. You know what I'm saying. Blows up one of his fingers and kills the child. You know, shoots him in the head. And of course, there were a lot of people. This was 4th of July. There's a lot of people on the beach. So now the cops are pretty much saying, please, somebody has seen this, you know, up close and personal. We have witnesses. And apparently, at least as of this afternoon, no one had come forth to say, oh, yeah, I saw that. And I understand the fear involved in that. But nonetheless, I also can... hard to believe the horror you would feel if you were witnessing that. And of course, granddad, yeah, he may be minus a finger, but he's minus a grandchild. How do you explain that to your child? Yeah, so just bad all the way around. And then while I was saying, you know, what were they thinking? I come across, thanks to James and his amazing links. You know, I always say James sent us 4,832 links or what have you. Well, I actually looked in my James file. He sent over 21,000 links, and much appreciated. 21,000, yeah, much appreciated. So we have Germany here, and we have a 22-year-old American woman and a 30-year-old American woman. I believe the other one was. The assailant was certainly 30, but I believe the other woman was a little older. They were college students. They were, I think they were actually college graduates, and they were tourists in Germany. And they were at the a famous castle, the Neuschwanstein Castle. And Germany has nothing if not nice castles. They do. And so the college graduate, Kelsey Chang, was visiting the spot, Cinderella Castle. And she survived. But her friend, 21-year-old Eva Liu, died. So what happened? What happened at the castle? Well, apparently... the two women had earlier met a 30-year-old from America on a trail, and he said, oh, I've got a much better view to show you. It's a hidden trail, but follow me. And so they did, and he tried to have his way with them, and fighting ensued, and he threw them off a 165-foot cliff. Yeah, now, the wonder is that anybody survived that. One of them didn't. And the other one, from what I understand, after a few days in the hospital, is now being released. When the younger one was first attacked by this 30-year-old American tourist, the older one tried to rush to her aid. And that's when he turned on her, choked her, pushed her down the slope, you know, 165 feet. And then, at that point, he goes back to the 21-year-old and tries to complete his sexual advance. And bottom line is she wasn't having it, so he wasn't over either. He just pushed her right off the right off the shelf, and 165 feet. Now, what's interesting there is there were bystanders, and they did have video, and police were able to arrest the 30-year-old suspect, and he's obviously facing charges of murder, attempted murder, and attempted sexual assault. But you really gotta wonder. Yeah, and sadly, like I say, the 21-year-old died, and I think the other gal was just a little older, but she did survive, and she's on her way back to the U.S. now. And a number of witnesses, thank God, but all of them, you know, almost a chorus of opinion, they're absolutely stunned, you know, that it happened, but more to the point that anybody could have lived. And it was a very difficult rescue, too, because to get to the gals who then were 165 foot down off the cliff, this is a very tight area. And rescuers managed to make it and managed to, in fact, help the one who survived. But you look at this and just say, how can this be? And, you know, here's the horrible part. I can go on all night. And I'd much rather defer to what's on your mind. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we will get to Donald in Midway here in moments, but we're going to come back with the Raleigh Ride, courtesy of Johnny D, right here on WGN Radio.
This song is called The Raleigh Ride. Sorry, Lisa from Dundee, but you're on the top of the list for the next one. While I was thumbing out of Y-Town, my town, had my guitar on my back, when this stranger pulls up beside me in a powder blue drop-top antique Cadillac. She was dressed like 1960, bleach blonde and hollow-eyed. She said, it's a long walk to Pittsburgh. Would you like a ride, son? Well, I sat down on the front seat. She turned on the radio, and them Scotty songs coming out of them speakers was solid doo-wop gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale going under a street light. And I knew this here was gonna be one strange ride. She said, Drifter, can you make folks call when you do your thing? Me, I paid my dues so I could blow the news and still make those telephones ring. She said, son, I could hope folks deal with what they feel inside. Now, if you want to be a big star like me, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride. Well, she stopped just short of McKee's Rocks, and she turned that ride around. She said, this is where you get off, boy. I'm going back to Arizona. As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, lady, many thanks. She said, you don't have to call me lady, laddie. When the whole world call me Riley James, she said, son, can you make folks call when you do your thing? Can you play my dude so I can blow the news and I can make those telephones ring? She said, son, I can help folks deal with what they feel inside. Now, if you want to be a big star like me, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride. Now, if you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride. First, you got to work in 32 cities, son, and I don't think you'd do that, boy. And I said, well, you got that right, big star Raleigh James. That's all, folks.
Okay, so that's Johnny D with his fine handiwork. Always appreciate it. Good stuff. And yes, so next song will absolutely include Lisa. And I'm of course honored to say the least. A big star, I don't think so, but we do have a lot of fun weeknights anyway. Well, on Friday nights is a replay, so let me mention again tomorrow night, Monday night trivia replays on Friday nights. All right, before we get to Donald, one more thing here. It's not horrible, though it is sort of interesting. I was just taking a look at radio stations ranked by format, and they do that every few months in various trades. And in this one, it shows that the number one format is country, not surprising, with 2,186 stations. It's number two, which apparently it's pretty high all the way around, but you got to be kidding me with that. Religion. Now, I'm not talking about contemporary Christian like K-Love and Air One or any of that. Not that. Preaching and teaching, you know, that kind of, yeah, Carl Z. McIntyre kind of religion. is the second most popular radio format, meaning that there are owners who are just selling at a dollar a holler, to say the least, selling out the time to any preacher who'll buy it. But there are over 2,000 religion, and again, not contemporary Christian, stations in America. Number three is News Talk, also a little over 2,000, pretty darn close to religion. And then contemporary Christian comes in fourth. Now, if you combine the contemporary Christian with the religion, that would be a runaway number one by light years, man. So what's number five? Spanish. Number six is variety, right? You don't get to classic hits till 7, and then classic rock's 8. Sports is 9, and top 40 is 10. So according to stationratings.com, there you have it. But I wanted to share this. Preaching and teaching. Yeah, well, you know, I guess if you want to sell it by the hour, there's 2,021 stations doing it as we speak. Donald in Midway, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, how you doing?
All right, what's up, Donald?
Yeah, I'm always listening to seniors on a fixed income. I'm a senior on a fixed income, too. And I have almost no expenses at all. You know, I pay almost nothing, you know, for living and transportation and everything.
How do you do
and,
it?
Okay, well, I got public, the HUD has the Section 8 program. Mm-hmm. And I was on it for 4 years. I waited. But Once I got it, you just have to live in a place that they approve of. And they come in once a year to inspect. Takes about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. And they'll pay 80% of your rent.
Right.
And in fact, they'll usually negotiate with your landlord to see if it can go lower. And then they'll pay 80% of that. Because the landlord tends to charge a little extra.
And, of course, HUD is interesting because in some places, I mean, you waited 4 years. In some places, you'll wait till you're dead. I mean, it's not necessarily easy to get into the program. Also, for people who are in it, in some cases, you can buy a house and HUD will pay 80%. So not only rental, but it is possible to buy in some states as well. But very hard to get into that program. The other thing, of course, is to qualify, you have to have virtually no assets.
That's correct. At least no assets that you list. At least assets like stocks, bonds, huge amount of money in the bank, you know, that kind of thing. If you have that,
you're out of luck. And many people, you know, they don't have a huge amount, but let's say they have 10,000. That's 8,000 more than they can have. So there's a lot of people who are not doing well, but they're not yet qualifying for the bennies.
I think currently you have to have $2,000 or less.
That's what I'm saying. So if you have $10,000 in the bank, that's $8,000 too much.
Right. So it's better to put stuff your mattress, actually. Well, I would decide. You know, and, you know, or have assets, you know, put it all in gold or silver or something like that, you know. And, because they would need a special warrant in order to come in and take a look at all that, you know.
Well, I don't want to offer welfare fraud, but what I do want to say is very often there's a look back period. So it's not as simple as just saying, okay, I'm going to take my cash and put it into gold and I'll apply, because there could be a 3-year look back period. They want to know what happened to that money. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Yeah, because I think a lot of people are looking for, what do I do? How do I make it? And Donald obviously has. So we'll continue with that. We got Marianne in Chicago, Fran in Austin. Yeah, we're going to get back to her kidney stones. I want to talk about that. Oh, painful. And plenty of room for you, too. And yes, if all else fails, I do have the tabloid slime from the checkout line on WGN Radio. I'm about to play one of my favorite songs instead of one that you requested. So it was Cindy in Chicago who wanted to hear Billy Paul on WGN Radio.
Me and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day same cafe, 6:30. and no one knows she'll be there. Holding hands, making all kinds of plans, while the jukebox plays a favorite song. Me and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it was just huge. Billy Paul, me and Mrs. Jones. Right, Philadelphia International, 1972. And that, again, is for Cindy. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking to Donald in Midway, senior on a fixed income, who has figured it out. Well, at least manages to work with the system and get what he needs. Okay, so if you only have $2,000, as long as you don't have more than that, you can qualify for HUD Section 8, providing, again, you can get in. Now, you waited 4 years. Were you in Chicago the whole time?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so yes, four years. All right, so you finally got on. So give me the rest of it. Tell me more.
Okay, now I did have a chunk of money in the bank, but that was, it depends on where it comes from. Now, this chunk of money came from back pay for disability, SSI.
Oh, all right.
So, and I went to court, and I'm a pretty smart guy, and I knew some lawyers, and so I got to keep a lot of the back pay from SSI. So I did have a chunk of money to begin with, but it came from that source.
Right, right. And you're absolutely right, and you're glad you went for it, because that is an exception. Very few people statistically are in that position, but that was a beautiful position to be in.
And then not only that, once I got my place to live, there are so many things. Once you're I'm in a senior residence too, which is 55 and up.
Right.
And it's not, there's not nurses everywhere or anything. It's independent living area. So I don't, it's just like living in a hotel, basically.
Sure.
There's the property manager, and there's a maintenance man, basically. And they're here a few hours each day, and that's it, And so most of the time we're just living here, there's parking lot. Many of the people in here have cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or share cars, and that's allowed. And, it's everything is taken care of except the electric bill. And so I have no gas bill. I have no water bill, which is a great thing. It's all included in the rent, right? And the electric can be covered by there are programs, different programs in Illinois. LIHEAP program is what I'm under. I get a $300 allowance that'll pay for my electric bill.
Excellent. Yes, there are for utilities, telephone as well. You can get Lifeline and things like that.
And you can get free internet. They're always signing people up for free internet too.
Right.
Yeah, you're allowed to get the call like an Obama phone.
Right. Well, no. And, yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's true. Now, do you get meals?
No, I don't get meals with the rent, no, but there's a Meals on Wheels program where they'll either bring you a hot meal every day, or they'll give you like 5 TV dinners plus about 6 small lunch, like brunch dinners plus, fruit and half a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. And they give you that every week. It's delivered right to your door. And once you get on that, then you've got basically a foundation for your food.
Right.
So that and you could add to it, of course. You could spice it up to your liking. And it's a variety of food, too. It's like stuffed peppers and chicken marinara and all that kind of thing, So
mm-hmm.
you don't just get, something that's really awful necessarily,
right.
So, and then, I got free medical insurance under the SSI and Obamacare. I have county care insurance. So that's completely free, and that includes dental and vision. It's not the greatest insurance, but it's certainly it's good enough for my needs. And I have hospitalization as well, and I don't pay anything for that. I don't pay anything for transportation because here in Illinois they have a program for seniors and disabled people where you can actually ride free Metra, CTA, and PACE.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to qualify on basis of income for that.
Right.
If you're not a certain age. So you have to make, I think, less than $24,000 a year. And I got that, so I can go all over the place for nothing. And then, you know, as you know, a lot of places give senior discounts.
Oh, absolutely.
So you usually have to ask for this. Say, is there a discount for insurance? Is there a discount for food eating in a restaurant? Yeah, whatever,
right.
You know.
Right.
And there's a place that's about six blocks from here called Continental Sales. And it's on like 63rd and Cicero. So it's almost walking distance away on a nice day. And they're on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, they have discounts days, an extra 10% off.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a lot of the spillover from the big box stores.
Sure.
And Jewel, for that matter, too.
Yeah.
So you can end up getting things like 50 cents for a can of tomatoes, you know, stewed tomatoes. And, you know, I mean, prices that are unbelievably cheap.
Yeah, lots for less, I think is their slogan. Lots for less.
A lot for less, and, you know, but
yeah.
It may not be here tomorrow and that
right.
kind of thing.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, let me ask you, because there's a number of people who aren't savvy enough to work the system. Maybe they do know about programs, but they, for whatever reason, have been told they don't qualify, and maybe they should qualify. Is there any source? I mean, you ought to open a storefront yourself, but are there any sources you can recommend for people who say, I really want to explore this with somebody who knows what they're doing?
You know, I think word of mouth is one of the best things, especially since I ask a lot of people in senior buildings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they've been there a while. I imagine quite a few people, you know, I mean, we're a lot of visitors. We're a lot of people who stay overnight, that kind of thing. You can actually, I think the word of mouth idea is a good, but if you don't really know another senior who's living in a circumstance like that, and there's more and more of us, because, for example, the building I'm in, it was originally it was a housing project,
mm-hmm.
and it was horrible. It was like a nest of crime. Well, they just got rid of it, and they gave vouchers to the people that were displaced, and they built it. It was a private-public partnership
mm-hmm.
of a company called Pearlmark, and they built this six-story senior residence,
mm-hmm.
and it was to get government assistance, it's like United Nations. We have like people from Eastern Europe who are immigrants. We have people from Mexico, and we have people from we have black people who were displaced from the housing project. We have people like myself, Caucasian, all kinds of people, retired people and married couples,
mm-hmm.
And people are still working. And we once had a resident who was 102 years old.
Wow.
But we have people who are just turning 55 as well. So,
I think
and there's
great.
Another one down the block. Since I moved here, they destroyed this hotel that looked like the Bates Motel.
Oh yeah,
it was really bad, and they had prostitutes working it. Well, the alderman came in there and said, "Well, you know, hey, we want this gone." So they built a very similar place there called Senior Lofts, and they filled it up, and, you know, people are happy there. It's a little more expensive than this one, but that's within walking distance of here. So these things are springing up in partnerships, and they're working. Because I've been here now, it'll be 6 years in November, and it's great. There have been no murders. There's been, you know, there's no people mm-hmm. shooting each other. It's actually a really decent place, and to my point of view, you know, there's two elevators, and
mm-hmm.
they're freight size elevators, so you can like move, do shopping, and move in easy and out. I mean, how much better do you want it? And the building itself is heated and cooled.
Absolutely great. You're to be congratulated because you found a solution. I have a real stark comparison in my life, you know, because all of the people I grew up with are now septuagenarians, octogenarians, and I had two gals I went to high school with, and they both wound up really in hard times. One of them was crushed by it, never could get into anything, ultimately, you know, literally died. It was just terrible. The other one found so many free things, she's about to have a cruise to the Galapagos Islands, for God's sakes. I mean, so it was just a real juxtaposition to me to see how one of them was able to work the system in the positive sense of that word and get so much, and the other one was literally crushed to death. So part of it is taking the initiative to go out and find it, and I think
I'm going to tell you another source. Can I tell you another source?
Yes.
They helped me. I should have brought it up right away. I got an association with a church, even though I'm not particularly religious, but I was lucky enough, I know how to sing. And so I was in their choir, and I got to know a lot of people. And I went to this church. They have a large social outreach program. So I just asked a lot of questions, you know, three. Let's do it, you know, and especially once they got to know me, I opened up, knew everything. If I can name the church, it's Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, and it's right downtown, across from the John Hancock Center. They have a big addendum, a large place that they built adjacent to the church, and it's called A Light in the City, and they are a multiracial, multi-ethnic, multi-religion facility of people that basically help people, from the homeless all the way up, to seniors. They have a daycare center, all of these things, And they will certainly, you don't have to be like a Presbyterian. You don't have to be religious. You just have to be, interested in, listening to them. And they have seminars. And, just go someplace like that. And if you don't like them, I'm sure they have a referral process where they can refer you to all kinds of other things as well.
Absolutely. That's a great suggestion. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. There are many different houses of worship, and they range. If you're at one where you're just not getting the response, because my friend who sadly didn't make it, she had gone and she was just picked the wrong place, and they didn't help her. And my feeling was go somewhere else. Because there will be. So Fourth Presbyterian, where is it?
It's on Chestnut. It's on Michigan Avenue in Chestnut.
Okay, good. Good. Excellent.
Yeah, it's very big. You can't miss it. It's this huge place. It goes all the way to Delaware as well, between Chestnut and Delaware.
Well, congratulations.
And it goes all the way down to Rush.
Yeah, that's terrific. You're to be commended. Enjoy your life. You deserve it.
Oh, well, thanks. I'll be 70 August 10th.
Oh.
I know. I bet I don't sound quite like a 70-year-old.
No, you're a youngster, and that's terrific, and I hope you'll call again. Thank you.
Thank you for getting the message out.
Absolutely.
Me do it.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'll tell you, you're getting old when 70 sounds young. All right, so that's great for Donald, and hopefully, if you are listening and that is you and you're being crushed because you're just not able to find the help you need. Like I say, my girlfriend who didn't make it, they told her, no, there's just nothing for you at Section 8. There's nothing. I mean, literally, I was sending her money so she could eat. It was like that. And, oh, man. But my other friend, man, she's got the world by a string. So part of it is just not stopping and not letting it get you down. All right. So if you listen to this show, you're a radio lover. I know that. So I'll talk about the Sea Crane Company, but you're probably already well aware. Bob Crane was just like us. He loved radio and absolutely was disheartened by the state of radios that were on the market. And, this is now years ago, but still the relatively recent future, because you think back to the 50s and 60s and you had those radios with the greatest reception. And then more recently, it's just like, what is this? Well, Bob determined that there was a better way and that you could have great reception. And not only that, his radios also have features that you just don't find anywhere else. If you go to ccradio.com, you can see all that they've got. And believe me, whatever you're looking for, they've probably got a radio that is just perfect for you. And the newest edition of the CC Skywave SSB2 is something to look at. It's got single sideband, and it's the ultimate companion and emergency radio. Now, it fits right in the palm of your hand, weighs only about 8 ounces, and the reception, like I say, whether it's AM or it's FM, is excellent. The audio is sharp and clear, especially for its small size. It sounds pretty good. But single sideband is really neat, because you won't use it every day. But when that real emergency happens, long before you hear it on the emergency bands or the weather bands or all that, a single side band is where the hams are talking about it before you hear it anywhere else. So it's kind of a window on the world that way. And you've also got a weather band and a weather alert and ham radios from all over the world. And the only way to, hear some of this is to have a single side band radio, and it's conveniently in the CC Skywave. So check it out, the CC Skywave SSB2. Go to ccradio.com. And it makes a great travel radio, too. And if you can't go online for some reason, they've got terrific customer service. They'll answer all your questions, and you can even order by phone. And that is 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, not only great products, great information as well from a great company. So if you love radio, man, this is something of which you should be aware. Check out the Skywave SSB2. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. About the stars in the sky and a girl and a guy and the way they could kiss on a night like this. And I looked into your big brown eyes, it's so very plain to see that it's time you learn about the facts of life, starting from A. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and a thing called love. Yeah! When I look into your big brown,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that's Jewel Akins on the Era label. And it was John and Covington who mentioned that the other night, so I wanted to get on that on as well. And, before I do anything else, I want to go to Eduardo, because he's right in the scene in Tampa. We were talking about what was going on off the Courtney Campbell Causeway, and I'm sure that that Eduardo is has a lot more information than the rest of us do. So, Eduardo, what do you know?
Yeah, Raleigh. Well, there really isn't any. You pretty much covered it up. I mean, they got into an argument because they were getting too close with the other group. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, although I'm not really sure about this, that there might be like gang entanglements involved.
Yeah, but maybe, but I wasn't thinking that was it, because it just seemed, you know, you're talking about 4th of July, it was kind of a family kind of thing, you know, where it is there on the, now you do, you're fairly close to it on the causeway and all that. It could be, but I was thinking it was just hot-headed people who obviously made bad judgment calls. But okay, so the guy on in the boat, so to speak, I can see how they have weapons, but how about the guys in the water? Where'd they get the guns from?
That's interesting. I mean, although this is Florida, I mean,
I understand that they are armed. I'm just thinking about it logistically. You know, you go to the beach. Do you put the guns down with your towel while you go in the water? Do you just leave it in your swim trunks? I mean, they didn't have time to get to the cars. Those guns were there. So I'm more interested in the logistics of this.
Yeah, and then this comes back to another thing. Because you were talking about the one that got tossed over there
in Germany,
in Germany,
yeah.
And this, my two words, mental health.
Oh, of course.
And over here there was another instance where somebody comes in a truck, because I saw this in the Tampa news. They're enjoying themselves in front of the house, and somebody comes in on a truck. Somebody laying down in back of the truck tosses the fireworks, and it injures somebody in that house.
Hang on a minute. I got to go. Don't stay right where you are. I'm blowing the news as usual. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
No
Raleigh James, and yes, The Radiance 1968 on Chess. Leonard Caston Jr. produced it and co-wrote it. We were talking with Johnny last night about that. Charles Stepney arranged it, and a fine record for The Radiance. So 888-876-5593. We're talking with Eduardo in Tampa Bay, partially about the Causeway shooting and other things as well, and I still want to know, and it's interesting to me, Eduardo, that of all the reports I've seen, and I looked at all the TV news coverage, no one is talking about where the people on the beach got the guns. Where were they at the, and I'm not talking about how they procured them in general, but when you go to the beach, mm-hmm. where, you know, is it in your towel? I mean, you know, you're not going in the water with the weapon. So how did they have access? They didn't run back to their cars. How did they have access to the weapons that quickly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting... I'm fortunate never to be anywhere near such a thing like that.
Well, you hope
even for
not.
Somebody who's... Yeah, I mean, I'm into archery, but no, I definitely wouldn't. I know a lot of people go for, you know, self-defense, but...
Yeah, but this is the beach. You bring your towel and you bring your sun lotion and maybe you bring a radio, you know, and you're going to watch the fireworks. And again, I can almost envision the guy on the jet ski. Okay, he's packing. I don't know why or whatever, but he is. All right, I can believe it. I'm just having trouble with the people on the beach. And, of course, we're talking a very crowded beach on Tuesday night as well. And, you know, it's like something here isn't adding up. And there were a lot of people who were there. I mean, that's one thing that's frustrating. Police, the parking lot was just absolutely full. A lot of people saw the whole thing start to finish. And I just, there's a piece of this missing that I want to know about.
Yeah, and so now what's going to happen, are we going to just have to, and they used to do this over there when I was over there in Chicago, when you go into the big park over there by downtown Millennium Park.
Metal detectors.
You would just go through and get frisked, and I mean, they wouldn't even let you bring when they had the NASCAR, they didn't even let people have umbrellas.
No, I
mean, that's all.
Absolutely, I understand that. I'm just trying to, for the logistics of it, you know, assuming this wasn't a setup, and like you said, maybe there was gang involvement, though I didn't think it mm-hmm. appeared there was, but I just can't wrap my head around where you would plan to put that weapon while you were planning to leave your beach towel and go in the water.
Yeah. Right in the sand, maybe?
Well, right, but I mean, come on. You know, you like I say, you're burying it with your suntan lotion? You know, mm-hmm. Especially there's a beach loaded with kids and everything else. That's the height of irresponsibility. There's more to this story, and I want to know what it is.
Yeah, there'll be more details. I mean, I didn't hear anything new because it came in the Spanish and in the English, and so I didn't hear anything new about that. But if something pops up, yeah, definitely
they'll
follow up on that.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, well, I was in Hull, and this was on my mind, speaking of Chicago. So they had a lot of rain Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the city got preferential treatment as far as the locks being open mm-hmm. for the water to go. And the Suburbans were out of luck because Cicero and Berwyn had a lot of rain, but they had a lot of flooding. And
well,
so there was some.
I think pretty much everybody had flooding. Now, of course, Sunday was also the race, and of course they were going to do everything they could to make that as safe and uncomplicated as possible. But other than that, yes, the worst occurred on the west and southwest, but I'm not sure, and maybe somebody listening can make a case for it, but I'm not sure that there was anything that caused one area to be particularly spared over another. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're an engineer, you know a lot about this, but I always wonder why can't they, you know, have them both getting help at the same time, you know, the city and the suburbs, why they, one, it's like one has to be, the locks have to be open for one, but the other one can't. It's kind of like you're on standby.
I don't.
So the water gets.
I don't think it's
that. I wonder how that works.
I don't think it's that cut and dry. Remember, when you're having this type of rain, it's not consistent across the region. So in terms of measuring, some areas in the immediate vicinity of Chicago had 3 inches. Other areas had 7 inches. Some few had 8 inches. So, you know, part of it is how much rain were they getting? Like O'Hare got 3.5 inches of rain. And,
yeah, Midway had 4.
Right.
Because I was looking at this, 4. Berwyn and Cicero had 8 or 9.
Right. So when you're looking at that, 8 or 9 versus 3.5, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
So I think that's a factor too. Yeah. Because I saw that Berwyn got 9 and Cicero got more than 8.5. So part of it is just that. You know,
yeah.
I'm not 100% sure that there's much, you can do to really mitigate that. I'm not seeing that it was one area getting preference over another. I'm seeing one area got more rain than another.
I know over there by Countryside, because there's this one road, Joliet Road, that I used to take. Back in the 90s, it was open, but then they got closed, and you had to go around like 55th Street
mm-hmm.
to get to the, because we used to go over there to the Walmart and Target and mm-hmm. Aldi and all that to shop. So you had to do like a go around because they blocked it because they were doing some kind of water project.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get that in every area, and you'll find that in Florida too. You're going to find some areas of Tampa where when you're really getting deluged, this is where the sewer is just backing up all the time. And, some corners where it's just that way. I mean, I don't think it was engineered one way or another for that as much
okay.
as, there used to be right across from us in Bal Harbour in Surfside at 96th and Harding. Man, that would flood every time. And it was just the way it was. So I'm not 100% sure it's a system where we're putting our resources here or there. But, maybe somebody brighter than me can talk about that. I know, like the Chicago River was re-engineered, but we're talking about the 1800s. And, the deal was to flow backward and all that. So, I guess there are certain things like that. But to my knowledge, see, this is where I wish Eddie Schwartz was still alive because he knew. I've not heard that it's a deal where one area is getting favoritism over another.
Oh, let me mention quick because, and I guess we'll hear more about this later. So they're saying Africa is going to split into two continents because the tectonic plates are splitting.
Not in our lifetime.
Okay. So that'll be a while then.
Yeah. No,
Okay.
I don't be watching the news for the upfront and personal report on this anytime soon.
Okay.
And of course, that's the Earth in general, it's a living, breathing planet, and that's where very often when you hear about quote-unquote climate change, well, of course there's climate change. There always has been. There always will be. The question is, do we have anything to do with it? And that's a political discussion. I won't go there. But in terms of it ever evolving, of course. And will we have a sixth ocean? So, there was a crack in Ethiopia that emerged, about
right.
15 years
right.
ago. And so that's what they're looking at. And they think this will split. But, you look at a map and right now, how many people say, man, I can put South America right here into Africa and I can see where these were once together. We don't have the truth on that. Who knows? But no reason to think that that all that stuff doesn't happen. But a shift in tectonic plates, I don't think there's going to be an overnight catastrophe. I think that it's going to be, they say that this phenomena hasn't been observed in hundreds of millions of years. And I'm saying, how do they know what was observed hundreds of millions of years ago? We're trying to back into the history. It's not like we've got, a newspaper. Sure. But we're talking eons of time, not next Wednesday.
All right. All right. Well, let me get you to the next call. Have a good weekend. And
keep us
safe.
Posted.
And, yeah. I'll be in Clearwater. Speaking of Clearwater, Courtney Cosby. I'm going to go see a concert. There's one of the guys from Cable is going to bring out their little comedic crew there next Saturday. So best of luck, because I'll be coming back at night.
Excellent. Well, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll let you know how the experience was coming back.
I hope so. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right.
Okay,
so
have a good weekend.
You too. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And I guess it's theoretically possible that some catastrophic event would happen overnight, but we won't be around to see it if that's the case. But most of the time, over long, long periods of time, you know, not next month. All right, so 888-876-5593. Leah and Marcus Hook, what's happening tonight, Leah?
Oh, not much, Holly. I just, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm here. Can't complain.
I just wanted to relay a couple of stories about Section 8. When I was first trying out for it, I had just started receiving Social Security, and I was on the list for about 2 years when someone suggested I write to my local representative.
Yeah.
And I did, and he was a doll. I'm not going to say his name. He's not in office anymore, but I'm not going to say his name because I don't want him to get in trouble. But they wrote me a letter back. Well, no, when I called, I said, I asked if they could do anything, and they said no, they're not allowed to help in any way.
Really?
But then, I got a letter back saying that too. They sent me a letter back saying that too. And then, like a month later, I was at the top of the list.
Interesting.
So I don't know if he did anything. I think he pulled some strings. I really do.
Yeah.
But then my friend who just got on it last month, she has been waiting for 6 years?
Wow.
6 years. Yeah. 6 years.
Wow.
And she just got to the top of the list last month. But here's the thing. In Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. around Delaware County, you can't find a place. With the voucher program,
right.
You can't find nobody except vouchers anymore.
That's very possible. That's the other part of this. It's a public-private partnership, and you can't force a landlord to be part of it. Some landlords want
to
be.
She had to go into HUD housing. She had to go into actual HUD housing.
And she was able to get it?
Yeah, well, they have places, but it's all the way in Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's from Media.
Right.
And she had to move all the way to Wayne.
Well, that's right. That part is absolutely true. And I know some people who haven't been in the system because they're not willing to do things like that. But that's absolutely true. You know, again, you can't force the landlords to take it. And so if you don't have the availability, that's all there is to it.
Yeah. Nobody is accepting it around here anymore. And I guess maybe in Chicago they still are, but not around here.
Well, again, like you say, she can go to Wayne, or same thing with you. If you were looking to, wanted to find it somewhere in the Philadelphia area, you'd find it.
Yeah, maybe in downtown Philadelphia, but in the suburbs, nobody's accepting it.
It's hard to say, and, you know, I mean, most people aren't comfortable going to areas they don't know. Unfortunately, but
it's a beautiful, beautiful area. I'll say that, but it is far away from all her family and friends. She's alone up there.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I think there is a number of landlords who do drop out of the program
for all sorts of reasons.
They've
had bad experiences with previous renters.
That's right.
That's what they said.
That's absolutely
true. Maintenance man told her that, and they've had a lot of bad people. And they just get fed up with it.
That's right. That's absolutely true. And that is a problem in a number of places.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know I don't know why people in Section 8 behave so badly. I don't understand it. But, and the inspections, that guy was talking about the inspections being such a breeze. It's not that big of a breeze. They make you fill out so much paperwork every year. It's really daunting.
Well, it's different in every state. Remember, it is not a federal program across the board. Every state is different in how it's administered.
Yeah, so, I guess.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And they look at every little thing. I mean, you can't even have, like, a piece of paper out or anything. You, I mean, they're just,
well,
you know.
Yeah, it's not a perfect system, but I do think that people who need the help, if they want it, they can work at it and get something that will work for them. It might not be what they want particularly. It might not be where they want, but the idea that they can't get help, my message is just you can. You might have to broaden your horizons. You might have to, you know, do a lot of research and do a lot of things you don't want to do. But ultimately, if that's your goal, you can find it. Now, on the other hand, if you say, hey, I'm staying in media no matter what, well, you probably can't find it.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, she was willing to move because
right, exactly, it's a choice.
I mean, she also got the voucher too, but yeah, she just couldn't find any place,
right,
you know?
Right, right. And if she hadn't been willing to move, well, she'd be on the street. And some people will choose.
Yeah.
Some people will choose that, but it is a choice.
It is a choice. It is a choice. But you know, it's sad, you know, when people have to move away just to find housing.
Well, that's happening. I'll tell you, it's much worse in areas like some of the suburbs around San Francisco. There's a suburb, Richmond, and it's up in Contra Costa County.
I know Richmond.
Well, okay, fine. Well, as you know, Richmond traditionally had a lot of lower income housing. Well, that has gentrified. And so now the people who were there cannot afford to be there. Period. Cannot.
Yeah.
And the same thing, you know, happened in Oakland, too, in Alameda County. So what you've got is areas that were previously affordable. Maybe you didn't want to live in these houses. Maybe the neighborhood was run down. Maybe the crime was a little high, but you could live there. Well, now they're gentrifying it, and there's nowhere to go. And so a lot of
probably
people,
Daly City is the same.
Yeah, to a degree that's true. But a lot of people who heretofore had housing, literally they're homeless because they've got nowhere to go. And
that's
so, yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just outrageous. Somebody's got to do something.
Well, that's above my pay grade for this particular show. But
I know.
Yeah, but the bottom line to that is that it gets very sticky because now you're talking about, well, are you going to be forcing private property owners to do things? I mean, on and on. There's so many facets to this that your head would spin. So, you know, I just sit here and read the title, the tabloids and say I've lived long enough. But, this is a huge problem.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, that castle in Germany.
Yes.
That you were talking about.
Yes.
That awful thing happened.
Yes.
I've always wanted to go there.
John has been.
My dream is to go there.
John has been. Yes, he has. Neuschwanstein. And he came in to say, it's new. And I said, okay, Neuschwanstein. Yes, he went there.
They call it the Fairy Tale King's Castle.
Right, because it looks like it's a Walt Disney thing or something. But the guy who owned it owned five other castles. And ultimately, he owed like 40 million marks or something. I mean, and then he died under mysterious circumstances. But this was one of his many, many castles. But yeah, John said it was a primo castle. He enjoyed himself immensely.
Well, I saw on the travel show they had this thing where you
hang
could
on
go
a minute. Hang
at
on
night.
A minute, Leah. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And we will pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Empty room, a favorite tune. The air seems to hold the fragrance of your perfume. One thing wrong, there's no you. Words can't explain what I've been going through. Can't seem to take away a love so deeply stored away for years. That you left there. All of my running has been in vain. No other love seems to be the same. Can't seem to run away. Nothing seems to turn away the tears. I'm writing you this letter
about me, then why try to live without me, my dear?
WGNS Radio, I'm Ollie James. Billy Eckstein, that was on Motown in 1966. And I just loved it. It was a flip side, actually, and I thought it was a terrific record. So it was. All right, so the last words he uttered were Basie. And that's pretty well known, but I've often thought maybe that's who he saw, because Count Basie died almost 9 years before Billy Eckstein died. Billy Eckstein had a stroke while he was performing in 1992, and then he later had a heart attack and died in March of 93. And like I say, last thing he ever said was Basie. Now, I wonder if the count crossed him over. Hard to know. But he would have turned 109 this Saturday. Born in 1914 in Pittsburgh. And just terrific. So, 888-876-5593. Talking to Leah. And yes, John has been to the castle in the Bavarian Alps. And he said the most interesting thing about it, and it was beautiful and all that, was that it had indoor plumbing.
Oh, wow. How nice.
Well, because this was I said, I don't know, probably around 1870 or whatever. He said, you can look it up. Well, I'm not going to. But the bottom line is this was well before anybody else had indoor plumbing for the most part. But they did there. And now, of course, it's an attraction. But it was quite a mess when the owner went bankrupt.
Well, they have this travel show called Rick Steves. He's on PBS, and they showed this guided tour that you can take. It's at night, and it's in the winter, and you can cross-country ski there at night on a, you know, lit by these handheld lamps and that they hold. They have it, you know, on these poles, and you can. They take a group of people, and they cross-country ski there at night in the wintertime. It's so beautiful. The snow is falling, and oh God, it just looks heavenly. I want to do that so bad.
It sounds like the definition of death wish to me, but okay. It's interesting that it has almost 80,000 reviews on Google. So apparently, a lot of people have gotten there one way or another. And yes, it was part of the Munich residences, an extensive palace complex. And apparently, King Ludwig of Bavaria felt the need to escape Munich and commissioned that the palace be built on the Alps there. And also, he did it in honor of Richard Wagner. So if you like classical music...
Wagner, I love Wagner,
oh,
yes.
God help us. And so, yeah, that's the deal. And so Ludwig decided he would do this out of his porch, a personal fortune, rather than borrowing from funds. And construction began in 1869, but they didn't complete it. And so it was intended to be a private residence for the king, but he died. And then after his death, they opened it to the public, and 61 million people have visited. And by the way, John says his death was suspicious, so I guess you'd have to study that. I'm not going to myself, but okay. And so apparently, in the Middle Ages, three castles overlooked villages. One was Schwanstein Castle, and now New Schwanstein. See, that's where it comes from. 1832, Ludwig's father, Maximilian, bought the ruins of Schwanstein Castle to replace them with Hohenschwagen, I can't even pronounce it, Castle. And that was 1837. And that was the summer residence. And I guess Ludwig was spending his childhood there. So, yeah, there's a bunch of other unpronounceable things as well by lakes and mountains. And now, I asked John, I said, did it have a moat? Because my thing is a moat. I've always wanted a moat. And actually, it didn't. But apparently, the castles themselves were separated by a moat. Now, that's not quite as good, but that's, you know, that's a start in the right direction. And so in the 19th century...
You've always wanted a moat?
I've always wanted a moat. I've said this since I was a child. I want a moat.
With alligators or crocodiles?
Well,
I never
thought about what I wanted in it. I just like the idea of having a moat. Yes. I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8. I don't know what other kids wanted, but I wanted a moat. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be Annie Oakley at that age.
Oh, And I don't know where I got the idea that I wanted a moat, but I absolutely did. Can we move somewhere where I have a moat? You know, yeah.
A moat, and you'd need a drawbridge too.
Well, I wasn't particular about that. I wasn't sure I was going to leave.
Go over.
So, I don't know.
Oh, okay. You were just going to stay in there.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know, but I wanted a moat. But anyway, I didn't get a moat. So I've met people who've had.
I didn't get to be Annie Oakley either.
And that's for the best all the way around. So apparently you will Neuschwanstein welcomes 1.5 million visitors a year. You will not be lonely.
Yeah.
So
did John take pictures or video or anything?
I think he took pictures. What it was, he was on assignment in Germany, and it was some kind of holiday where he couldn't film what he was there to film, and so he had a guy who was with him, who was, you know, basically getting him from where he needed to be. And so he said to the guy, "Well, I want to go to the castle." The guy said, "Okay, we'll go to the castle." So I don't know. I have no idea if he took pictures. I no idea whatsoever. So, in fact, I would not have even remembered that was the castle in question here if it didn't come up tonight in the news, throwing a couple girls down a 165-foot embankment. Man.
That's a horrible story.
Well, it is a horrible story. It is a horrible story. But fortunately, they've got the guy.
Fortunately, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, right.
Unbelievable.
And one of them lived, you know, so I have a feeling hopefully she'll make a full recovery, but, you know, other than post-traumatic stress, which she'll have forever, but hopefully she'll be able to add more to the story.
I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to find an online IQ test that's actually free. I tried to take one earlier, and they said, "Oh, you filled it out 97% quicker than anyone else, and you did 95% better than anyone else, and now you have to pay $21 to get your result."
Yeah. Well, I think there are some that probably will give you the results, but you're at least going to have to give me your email address.
I'll do that, but I don't want to pay for it.
Oh well, you can search around and you'll find it. You will absolutely find, yes, but you will have to give them your email address to get the results. I saw one that said no registration, but I haven't gone on to see, what's happened. And there's a Mensa challenge, and I don't think that Mensa would charge you.
All right, I'll do Mensa.
Yeah, Mensa.org. And
Mensa.org. Okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing, and I think that it was Mensa Norway that put this test together.
Really?
Yeah, it says this test consists of 35 puzzles in the form of visual patterns that must be solved within a 25-minute time limit. All right.
Well, that's all this one was puzzles. Yeah.
I don't like the puzzle ones.
I can do that.
I don't like puzzles.
Oh. But I don't like the math one.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Just no don't make me look at something. That's where we're in trouble. But so there's a number of them that says, instant results, no registration. So, yeah, do some searching and I'm sure you'll find several.
Okay. All right, I'll do the math. Thank you.
Let me know how you do. All right, thanks.
I will, thanks.
Okay, good deal. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's always interesting. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Marianne in Chicago has a request. So, Marianne, what is it you want to hear?
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
I can't complain.
I started out where I was going to make a request, and I heard Eduardo.
Yeah.
And I actually heard him this afternoon on the Wendy Snyder show.
Good.
Calling in.
Very nice.
He's a good guy. It was a thank you Thursday, and he called up to thank his mom.
Ah, that's very nice.
Isn't that sweet?
Well, she moved to Florida with him, so there you go.
Yeah, can you blame her? I'm sure he takes good care of her.
I sure hope so, but I don't think she had a choice, so that's probably why he was thanking her.
You know what? I'm kind of jealous because I'm 70 years old, a hip replacement, and I'm on my own.
Well, and you're going to be fine.
I wish I had a son that would have said, "Come on, we're going to Florida."
Right. Well, there is that, but no, you'll be fine. I can tell.
Yeah, I'm already walking with the cane.
Yeah, and you'll.
I don't do it a real lot. I'm going to save that for outpatient therapy because.
Right.
You know, I'm afraid if I walk so far and I run out of steam, I have no place to sit down.
No, absolutely you want to do it through therapy, because you do want to regain the strength as, you know, as well as the dexterity. And the big thing you don't want to do is fall. So, yeah, I understand all
that. I had that a couple of years ago where...
Oh, God.
I'm full of scars and it was a bloody mess, but wasn't falling wasn't the hard part. It was getting up.
Well, of course. Well... you know, but sometimes there is a real, if you've had surgery like that, you can really screw yourself up if you fall. So we don't want to do that.
No, we don't. But, you know, I was, when you were talking about that shooting in Florida.
Yes.
And where did they hide the gun,
yes.
You know, and stuff like that. Okay, here's my question. Here on the 4th of July at Rainbow Beach.
Right.
On the 4th of July with a huge crowd. A four-year-old girl was sexually molested in a public bathroom on the beach. Who lets a four-year-old go by themselves in the bathroom?
How did
this happen if somebody was in the bathroom? I mean...
Yeah, I'm with you right away. I don't know. Yeah, who says to a four-year-old in a crowded public beach, go to the public restroom on your own, dear?
Yeah, and if you take them there, you go in the stall with them.
Well,
because what four-year-old can pull down their bathing suit to go to the bathroom and everything?
Well,
and I'm just like,
you know, I'll even say, okay, she's precocious and she can do that, but you don't let the child go alone.
No, and if she wanted to go in the stall alone. Okay, you go and make sure nobody's in the stall, and you wait outside and hold the door.
Right.
Are you done? Are you done? Okay,
right.
Come on, let's go. I'm surprised that, who is that from the South Side that sends you like 3,000
James
stories a day?
Oh, yeah. I just haven't gotten to James. He's been calling for quite a while. And
maybe he sent something with a little more information about that, because I'm like, I'm as confused as you. Okay, if you're swimming, where's your gun?
Well,
how did you pull a gun on somebody
right.
in the water? It's like saying a naked guy rolled by on his bike and pulled a gun on you. Okay, where did he have that gun?
Right.
He's naked.
Right, right. But yes, I want to know, and is the description just from the four-year-old? Because, you know, they've got a description and an artist sketch of it as well.
Oh, it was very detailed. Yeah.
Well, right. So I want to read more about this. But you have a great question there. What on earth was she doing alone in the bathroom?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Was she alone?
Yeah.
And if she's not, that raises another group of questions.
It almost sounds like she wasn't alone from the description
of this guy. Well, right. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
And because it's time. The time has come. The moment you've been waiting for. Just know it, know it, know it. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
I said, my baby had to put your show. She was with someone in the very front row. I said, oh, baby, ain't I your man? She said, come and sit beside me. You can hold my other hand. A girl's a devil, a cute little devil. Whoa, she's a devil, a cute little devil. The girl is a devil, she tried to make a monkey out of me. But I love her so. My baby took her to the record of hot. Whoa, she made me angry and I blew my top. She danced with every boy that she could see. She said, I heard you sing and say the last dance for me. The girl's a devil, a cute little devil. Whoa, she's a devil, a cute little devil. The girl is a devil, she tried to make a monkey out of me. But I love her so.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, the lead singer is absolutely Gene Chandler, Eugene Dixon at the time. That's the Duques, 1961 on the Nat label. And Nat was actually named after a guy, Nathaniel, who was Carl Davis and Bill Shepard's, Bunky Shepard's accountant. I know absolutely nothing. At first, I thought maybe Nat Tarnopol, but no, just Nathaniel, whoever he was. But The Girl's a Devil with a fine record, and playing Gene Chandler because he turns 86 today. Happy, happy birthday, Gene Chandler. Well, now it's yesterday, I guess, so his birthday is just officially over, but born in 1937 in Chicago, Englewood High grad, don't you know? Now we're talking to Marianne in Chicago, and Marianne, believe it or not, during the news, I actually did some looking up here and discovered that this apparently is very controversial. When should a child be old enough to go to the bathroom alone? I had no idea that these are fighting words, but apparently they are. And I'll tell you what it comes from. It comes from opposite-sex parents who are alone with the child not knowing what to do after the child is a certain age. Like, what bathroom do you bring? Obviously, if it's a father, he's not going to bring his daughter into the ladies' room because he'd be kicked out in a heartbeat. But at what point is she too old to be brought into the men's room? So the bottom line to this is there's no consensus. But if there were, the closest to consensus there is not about age, but about child. If the child is not old enough to fend for themselves, in other words, not have to ask another adult for any help, reaching the toilet paper or the soap or anything else, if they're truly self-sufficient, then it should be okay. But by that definition, usually that's not four.
No.
So now what I want to know, because I also tried to look up the genesis of the story, and all I keep seeing now are, you know, police sketches of the supposed guy. But all right, so we're talking Independence Day. We're talking afternoons, you know, 5 in the afternoon. And this is not some arcane time at 2 in the morning. We're talking, you know, Lakeshore Drive, 75th, a populated area on Independence Day. So, okay. What's the story here? Was the girl with her father and he didn't want to go in the restroom? Where the girl wasn't alone, period. We know that. Somewhere along the way, she was with somebody. So what's the story with them?
Well, maybe we'll never find out. But, you know, now that you brought that up, they did make an ordinance here with, especially with new builds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for family baby bathrooms. Yes, they have. The newer ones, you have to have a family bathroom, but that's usually not the case in the public restrooms by the beach or anything like that.
No, because that's an older building. But, sure. Makes sense. Like they say, some guy takes his grandmother out and she needs help in the bathroom, where does he take her?
Well, no, I agree with that wholeheartedly. The family restrooms should be the norm, and I'm glad that all new buildings have to have them. But, you know, it's a sticky thing. You can't really force a retrofit. And if it's in a public place where there's just no room, period, you got another issue. But, you know, the idea that the child is not necessarily going to be with same-sex parent is something that is pretty obvious at this point, and I don't think it's really being considered. Now, the Exploited Children's Center, they say no age, no child should be in the bathroom alone. But then also there are places where there's a health club in the Chicago area where if you're child is over 5, they can't enter the opposite sex restroom. In other words, so if you're dad, you can't take your daughter in.
Yeah, and there was a thing like at the pool I used to go to. You got moms bringing their 10 and 11-year-old boys
right
to the women's changing area.
No, absolutely, that's true. And so that's why the debate. At what point is it not okay? And unfortunately, it's not going to be set in stone. It's going to have to do with the child's maturity. But in this case, I'd like to know the rest of the story, how this happened. The other thing, of course, is supposedly, from what I can tell, the child was in the restroom and in walks this man whose, you know, face now, the sketch of it is all over the place, and he assaults the girl and quickly leaves. Now, I want to know, you know, I guess maybe I don't want to know the graphic truth, but I sort of do want to know the graphic truth. How long was he in there at the very least? You know, because is this seconds? And if it's more than seconds, was this child completely alone the whole time in the restroom? Was it, you know, no, there's details missing here.
And where was the person with that child? If they were standing outside of that bathroom,
right,
they would have noticed this man
going
in there and should have stopped them.
Right, that's the next question. Right, exactly.
There's too much behind. I'm a Virgo, and I'm overthinking this way too much. But
no,
it doesn't make sense.
Right. There's that. Just like I was saying about the other story. There's a story here, and I'd like to know it. It doesn't make sense to me either. So I don't know. I hope we can maybe get some answers. Maybe someone will call and tell us.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe we'll never know, but. Now we got a four-year-old child that'll need therapy for the rest of her life.
Well, maybe. Again, we don't know what happened to the child.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I don't know what the word means, you know, in this context. Because it could mean things from the child will forget by tomorrow to the child is scarred to life and everything in between, you know. So we don't know.
Yeah, and then, you know, you never know what adults are feeding into her head.
Well, of course. So, yeah, I want more than film at 11 on this one.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay, I was going to make a request, but can you do it next week?
I don't know, maybe I can do it tonight. What is it?
Me and Baby Brother by War.
Oh, okay.
But if you'd rather not, don't.
No, probably next week. I don't think I'm up for it tonight, but I'll do it. Okay, thanks.
Oh, and one more quick thing. You like Patti LaBelle, right?
Some of it.
Oh, she made a guest appearance on one of the programs I watched the other night on The Wonder Years. She was the director of a choir in the church.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. What I really liked by Patti LaBelle wasn't Patti LaBelle, because I sold my heart to the junk man was actually the Scarlets. They got label copy wrong.
Oh.
And that was my favorite. It wasn't even her. All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So
okay, I will listen to you. Thank you, Raleigh. Right, have a good evening, John. Have a good evening, and love you guys.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we've got Fran, we got Bill, we got Don, we got James, we got Johnny D. I want to get through this. I want everybody to be on the air tonight, so I'll try not to be quite as long-winded. And firstly, Johnny D, I hope you heard your song. We played it as our first bumper.
Yes, I did hear it, Raleigh, and big star Raleigh James. Yes. What you think of
it? I thought it was just great. You know, we always appreciate all of your efforts. And Lisa is holding you to being a star of the next song, or at least in it.
Oh, she's top of the list.
Yeah, all right,
right at the top.
Right.
Lisa from Dundee.
Yeah,
and but anyhow, no, you know. On this one, Raleigh, you know what I went through. I had the cold and everything.
Yeah.
I'm still not really, you know, all the way. But I thought to myself, because, you know, I was out of town for the fourth.
I
was up in New York.
Yes, you did that last year, too.
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, my younger sister has been, what would you say, hosting 4th of July, even when my parents were alive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And we used to go up there. Before she got divorced, but since she's been divorced, she's got a couple of different houses she's lived in, and you know, we still go up. Me and my brother and sister, you know, we go up there. I was up in Greece, New York, all right.
Uh huh.
And my older sister was in Greece in the Mediterranean.
Yeah,
because her and her girlfriends went on some kind of. Cruise, you know, they went to some islands and Greek islands, and then they went to Sicily, then they were going to Naples or something like that. So anyhow, we were about, yeah. But then, you know, so anyhow, I came home yesterday. Got home yesterday about 8:30 p.m., and I listened to your show last night. And I was going to say, you know, just one other thing. Lila's trying to make a Mensa. She wants to be a Mensa member like
no,
you?
No, no, no. She just wants a free IQ test online. She's not trying to make Mensa.
Oh, like you did.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's 98%. And when you find out if that's 98%, we're in a world of hurt. Because, you know, and I made Intertel, which actually was a little more interesting as a group, and that's 99%. And then Triple Nine, which was originally fun, but none of them.
You're a real smart lady, big star Raleigh Jane.
You know, like, Mensa was interesting when it was a woman in Brooklyn, Margot Seidelman, pretty much at her kitchen table, you know, but Margot's long dead and it's a big deal now and who cares. And just like Triple Nine was really good when it was a guy with a 9-pin dot matrix printer in Kentucky, but now it's like this big deal, and so I don't belong to any of them.
Yeah, let them kids play their games, Raleigh.
I know, guess.
You know. Yeah. But anyhow, on that song, you know, I said to myself, it was about 8:30 tonight, p.m. my time, you know, Eastern time.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I had the song in my head. I didn't have it all written down like I normally do because I didn't want to go through the effort of writing it down.
Okay.
So then, you know, I said, well, I'll just sing it by heart out of my, what I had in my head, you know. And I muffed it up a couple of lines, but then I thought, I ain't going to do it over.
No,
this is good enough.
That's right. Absolutely good enough. I agree wholeheartedly.
Did you like when you stopped just short of McKee's Rocks?
Yeah, right.
You turned
right,
your ride
yeah,
around?
Yeah, yeah, I liked that. John wanted to know why the car was blue.
Well, it's a 58 or 59
yeah.
Cadillac Coupe de Ville, powder yeah. blue with yeah. a white drop top
right.
and white leather interior.
Well,
and it had the big gangster tires on it, too, the white wall.
Yeah, of course it did. Yeah, well, it made sense to me because, after all, Eartha Kitt a few years earlier and Santa Baby had light blue Cadillacs, so why not?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I figured what kind of Cadillac would Raleigh James be driving, you know, and,
yeah.
and I figure antique Cadillac. I figure a 58, 59 Coupe de Ville with a white drop top,
yeah.
a white leather interior.
Very nice.
Anyhow. So, yeah, okay, real nice show tonight. And
well, thank you.
What was I going to say?
I hope you're going to feel better. I hope you're going to rest your voice and take some time off and feel better. And glad the trip was a success.
Oh, yeah. Another thing. I seen Grand Funk.
Yes.
Grand Funk Railroad.
Yes.
I seen them 4th of July night. I seen them. My sister knows a guy in. He gets us passes and stuff to these things, you know, over there.
Uh-huh.
And anyhow, so, yeah, I was going to request, because I was singing right along with him. You know, I like a lot of Grand Funk stuff.
Okay.
And I was doing Some Kind of Wonderful.
Oh, right? Okay. All right.
And I wanted to request Some Kind of Wonderful.
By Grand Funk Railroad, of course. Not.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes,
all
Wally.
Right. We'll do it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate
Talk
it.
To you later.
All right,
bye-bye.
Good deal. So, 888-876-5593. We will, in fact, I think Linda in Richland Park is curious about it, and we'll get to her, too, and Fran in Austin. Oh, the kidney stones. I want to talk about the kidney stones. Bill in Chicago, Don in Beloit, James in Oregon. And there is now one line available for you on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Grand Funk Railroad redoing. Yeah, Some Kind of Wonderful. Not the Carole King song the Drifters did at all, but Grand Funk, while they had the hit, they were not the first by quite a bit. The Soul Brothers 6 were, and in fact, John Ellison from the Soul Brothers 6 wrote it. So, yeah, and they had it out on Atlantic, actually, and so it didn't do anything, but of course, since he wrote it, John did very well with the Grand Funk version, and there is Johnny D's request. So 888-876-5593. We've got Rich. He's a first time caller in Cleveland. All right, Rich, welcome to WGN Radio.
Right. Actually, I'm not a first time caller. I called a few years back, but I just want to let you know about a brand new book that came out called Invisible Soul, Uncovering Cleveland's Underground Soul Scene.
Wow.
And there's a lot in here about the Hesitations and the obscure doo-wop groups from the 50s and obscure soul groups from the 60s, and Lou Raglan's in there, and the Hesitations are in there, and a lot about the Bodie Record Company. It seems like something that you might be interested in. Maybe you could even get in contact with the author and do an interview. I have some contact information, but I'm not going to give anything over the air.
No, I'll put you on hold, let you talk to John, and I'll order the book because I see that it did come out a couple weeks ago now, Invisible Soul by Carlo Wolf with James O'Hare, and I'm looking forward to reading it. So hang on and let me give you John, because that'll be great. I'll enjoy that. Thank you for letting me know.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Good deal. Yes, that's exciting, and I love stuff like that. And you can bet I'll order a copy. Invisible Soul. All right, another half hour of this, hopefully with you coming up. Fran and Bill and Linda and Don and James on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it was 56 years ago today, July 6, 1967, that Jackie Wilson was in the studio recording Bernard Minor's Higher and Higher. Bernard was a co-writer on that, along with Gary Jackson and Carl Smith. And when it came out on Brunswick, Bernard's name wasn't on the original 45. And I just thought that was dirty pool. And I wanted to play that because, of course, 56 years ago today, it was being recorded. But I want to make sure that Bernard finally got the royalties for that. So, Bernard, that's your song.
Yes, it is. And I was upset, too. But thanks to Billy Davis, Roquel Billy Davis,
yeah,
with the Carl Davis. And showed them. I recorded that song in 1965. And at any rate, Carl Smith and I were the real writers of that song. And I was the leader of it because I employed lyric and yeah, melody and the hook.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. And I had another song that I wanted to hear if it's possible. I don't know if it charted or not because I was doing a lot of stuff. But I should, sometimes I miss it off of my royalty statement.
Yeah.
But Barbara Carr did a song called Don't Knock Love.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was pretty hot at that time.
Yeah.
And I did play the piano at that time, too.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah.
But, so I just, if it's possible. If it's not, I'll listen to you tomorrow or whenever and see when you play.
No, absolutely. That was Cadet. Well, no, the flip side of Shake Your Head.
And if they check BMI, Broadcasting Music Incorporated, what was the song that I was going to do? Mess up a good thing. That was me, Billy Davis, and Carl Smith again.
Right. Well, at least with "Don't Knock Love," you got the credit on the 45. So that was good.
Yeah. So I'd like to hear it. If you can do it, I can deal with it.
Yeah. No, I'll see if it's on this computer. If it is, you'll absolutely hear it.
Okay, it was on YouTube. Yeah, right.
Well, you can do that, of course, but I like to play it. Yeah. Because if it's on this computer, that means I got it from the original 45.
I can dig it. I'm with you, but you're sounding good.
Well, thanks.
Like you always do.
It's very nice of you to say.
You're one of the bright personalities on radio.
Okay, well.
So, thank you.
Well, I'm just so glad you're calling, you know.
Even you're so bright, even the blind can see you.
Oh, man. You go. I love it. But,
there you go. You like that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I got more.
Right. Try the veal. You're, the show is only as good as the callers, and so you are part of the success, and I hope to hear from you soon.
You will.
All right.
You
Thanks.
Will.
Appreciate
okay.
it. Okay, good.
Don't Knock Love by Barbara Carr.
Absolutely. All right, on Chess.
Okay.
Yes, I think Chess, actually. I thought it was on Cadet, but I think it's Chess. And it was Barbara spelled it like Barbara Streisand did, no other A. So Barbara Carr. All right, I'll look for that in moments here. And hopefully we will get there. That'll be our last bumper for the night. Now, what are we doing here? Oh, Fran and the kidney stones. All right, Fran. So firstly, what kind of stones are they? Do they know? Fran left us. Oh, well, who would blame her? She probably went to sleep. Well, Fran has kidney stones, and I really want to talk about, I want to see if they're going to be blasting them out. Some you can blast out, some you can't. And it's better if you can, because then there's no surgery involved. But she'll call on another night, and I certainly had her waiting a long time. And I bet you, we'll see. Don from Beloit probably went to sleep, too, but I'll try it. You there, Don?
Nope. Hey, Raleigh. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, ma'am. I'm here. Yep.
You're awake. You're awake. Amazing.
Well, you know, my chickens like R&B music. You know, it's just me and the chickens, you know, but it's better than they seem to like my voice and my music I play around the radio and stuff.
Well, sure. Ain't nobody there but your chickens. I like it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Just like Louis Jordan.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, that's Neuschwanstein Castle,
yeah,
what Disney envisioned for Sleeping Beauty. He got the idea for Sleeping Beauty's castle from that fairy tale castle was based on that castle. I don't know if you said that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why it's the Cinderella Castle, they call it over there. But yes, absolutely.
Right.
And an interesting castle it is. I was surprised John's been to the castle. So.
Yeah, I've been around there too, and it's got a lot of nooks and crannies and forces. You know, it can really disappear, and you know, like for a lonely woman, let's say, could be you could certainly be attacked at that place on the grounds around that area.
And this wasn't the ground; this was 165 feet up. But yes.
Yeah, it's picturesque, but dangerous in that regard. Yeah, it's terrible. And locally, you know, that story, you know, had a lot of play because the I'm sort of paraphrasing the news, but the poor father of that poor woman, and he flew from Naperville to claim, and that was its own story, claim the body, or something.
God.
It was as a father, you know, you just never want to do that. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. All right, so you were calling about the Bud Light factories, actually the glass factories.
Yeah, did you catch that? I mean, wow, it's just the bleeding continues. They won't admit that they maybe did wrong, you know, and they laid off this Ardagh group that supplies them with the glass bottles in North Carolina and Louisiana. These two glass plants, bottling plants, they closed.
Yeah, well, they will close them. Yeah, they're slated to close. Ruston is one of them in Louisiana, and out by Raleigh and Wilson. And The yep. interesting thing, though, and I'm sure the Bud Light fiasco hastened it, but there are changes afoot in the industry in general, and there's less glass bottles available, which I think is terrible. I don't think anybody should have to drink anything out of an aluminum can, for God's sakes, but apparently that's the way it's going in general.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, they lost 31 markets, 31%. It's just,
oh no,
it's
I know.
If
I
anything,
know.
It's getting worse, you know. But
oh
but,
yeah.
But the other brands are making up for that with equal amounts. So it's not like people aren't drinking beer. It's just that particular brand.
Absolutely.
You know, is just but like we had that talk, you know, when this happened like a month ago or whatever. But you know, it wasn't. You know, that person, it was because the way they talked down to the Bud Light customers. I wrote this down, that Alyssa Heinerscheid, this right. VP, you know, publicly said, you know, these guys are all fratty and kind of out of touch humor.
She
might have just, you know, he could have just flipped off NASCAR and country music and religion at the same time, maybe, or something.
And been happy about it. No, hopefully she'll never work again as far as that goes. And, of course, she was young and stupid, highly educated, of course, don't you know. But the people who approved it are the people who deserve to lose their jobs, and I understand they have. But, it's a real departure because advertising in general for years wanted to stay away from controversy. In fact, when Rush Limbaugh was hot and when Howard Stern was on terrestrial radio, you would have companies, when they bought advertising, that they would say no placement in controversy, and it would specify no Rush Limbaugh, no Howard Stern. So it wasn't a case of they didn't want just conservative or they didn't want just liberal. They didn't want to be near anything conservative. And in fact, for years with McDonald's in Southern California, they wouldn't even buy a radio station that carried these programs. And so this is such a turnaround for suddenly corporate America to embrace anything that is controversial. And I think it's foolhardy. Your commercials should sell your product as far as it goes.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll
be a
return.
Did you see what they tried to do? They tried to do an about face with this Travis Kelce commercial.
Yeah.
Did you see the grunting? I call it the grunting commercial.
Yeah, no, I mean, please. No, you're going from bad to worse. Get back to talking about the virtues of what it is you're trying to get people to buy and be done with it.
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd give you a call and see if you heard about that.
It's
terrible that 650 jobs are being lost with that. But I think it's just beginning.
Well, it is. And this was the death knell. I mean, without the Bud Light fiasco, they probably still would be moving along. But the undercurrent is, and they had to admit it, that over the past few years, there's less and less bottle demand, which I think is sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, cans are popular, and I like, for example, you know, I go to a lot of beaches, I go to a lot of hockey rinks, and bottles are no-nos. Those are big
no-nos
to be in a locker room.
Right. Like at a pool side or something like that, it's just forbidden. You know, I got that for very good reason. But in general, I like my bottles. So we shall see. But yes, Bud Light absolutely hastened their decision, to say the least. All right. Well, I'm glad you're calling, Don.
Thank you so much
for waiting.
Great. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
right.
Good. Appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome. Right.
Yeah, Don was a real trooper. That was absolutely ours. All right. So we'll get to Linda and Bill in Chicago and James in Oregon, and that'll be it for tonight. Tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, but next Monday night, 10 o'clock, live, and I'll be ready for you here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's for Renard. Yeah, don't knock love, Barbara Carr. She was a St. Louis girl following the footsteps of Fontella Bass. In fact, it was Oliver Sane looking to find Fontella's replacement, and that's how Barbara got the job, and that's how she got to Chess. And then she and her husband started Bar Carr, their own label, and they went back to St. Louis. And then they did a number of things in Muscle Shoals, but I don't think any of it hit. But she's still with us. And I think she turned 82 this past January. So there you have it. Barbara Carr, Barbara Jean Crosby. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Linda in Richton Park. What's up tonight, Linda?
Hi, how are you, Raleigh?
All right, how about
yourself? I'm enjoying your show as usual.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling because, you know, I've been thinking for quite some time, this song you played on the radio, it's been almost 2 months ago, and it's just been sticking with me. I have a playlist that I have all my songs on my favorite playlist, and I wanted to add this song, but I can't think of the name of it, but you did play it. And it's this guy, he's kind of telling a story. He asked to catch a ride with someone. He had to ride. Then he got in their car. He bummed a cigarette from him, and then he was riding. And he told the guy to go down this particular street and turn down here. And he parked behind the bank. And I think the guy was trying to rob the bank, but he told like in a story.
That sounds like Cops and Robbers by Kent Harris. That sounds like that. Let's see. Let me find it here. But that's I loved Kent Harris. So let's see if that's it. I'll bet you this is it. Hopefully it's on this computer. If not, maybe in the other studio. But you know, I'll bet you this is one I can find easily. So let's look. I'm pretty sure it's Cops and Robbers. Kent Harris.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that was the flip side of Clothesline, which the Coasters ripped off as Shopping for Clothes. But yeah, Kent Harris recorded under the name of Boogaloo and his Gallant Crew. But it was actually Kent Harris on Cress, and let's see if this is what you heard. So we'll find out.
I was driving down the boulevard late one night on my way back home when I spied this guy on the corner, thumbing all alone. As I passed on by, I heard him holler out, hey.
Is that it? Yep. Boogaloo and his Gallant Crew, Cops and Robbers.
Boogaloo and his Gallant Crew, Cops and Robbers. I hope I can remember all of it. And his name is Kent Harris.
Yes, but you'll see it as the writer credit, but the artist, it just says Boogaloo, B-O-O-G-A-L-O-O, Boogaloo and his Gallant Crew. And the song is Cops and Robbers, and it's on Crest.
Okay, and there's one other song. I don't know who wrote it, but it's a song I wanted to add to my playlist. It's called I Got Some Boogie For You. They played it in a movie called Soul Man, and they were doing in this one scene, everybody was doing a cowboy line dance.
Okay.
And there's words to the song, I Got Some Boogie For You. And there was Bernie Mac and Samuel Jackson was in the movie. It's a real nice song.
Yeah, and I know that Willie Dixon, Hoochie Coochie Man, is in that movie, and Soul Man, but I don't know. So I'm going to need help on that.
Yes. Cause I got some boogie for you. That's what they be saying in words.
I got some boogie for you. Let's see. I'm looking at the soundtrack CD right now, and, you know, Soul Man, Evolution, Outside, Love and Affection, Ikebo, Static Automatic, Bang Bang Bang, Who's on a Phone, Totally Academic, Suddenly It's Magic, Black Girls and Sweet Sarah, and none of those are right. So I don't know. You're going to have to ask somebody who goes to movies. You know, now you've lost me. Because that I don't do. I do a lot of things, but movies are not one of them.
Yeah, I heard it put on the radio on another station about 3 weeks ago, but they never say what the name of the song is, or who wrote it, or who sang it. It's just, I got some boogie for you. And it's, they give this like cowboy gladness, which I never learned how to do.
Yeah.
But
I'll find it. I'll write it down and find it. I will find this.
I should hope you do. I know you can. You're like Superwoman.
I wouldn't go that far. But
one quick thing. Johnny D, he did, it was nice. I enjoyed it.
Well,
and
I was going to say, I got one here by the Soul Men called I Got the Boogie for You. So next week I'm going to play it next week and you'll tell me.
Song.
Okay, well then I got it. I'll play it next week,
all
I promise.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All
appreciate
right.
it. All
Bye-bye.
Right, so we got, let's see, about a minute left. And let's see, we'll start by saying Bill and Cicero. Can you say it in a minute? Well, it doesn't matter. Bill left us. Well, who would blame him? So I don't know if James in Oregon hung into the last waning second, but if he did, the 30 seconds are his. Are you there, James? No, James did the smart thing. I don't blame him a bit, but I appreciate everybody who waited and everybody who called, and it really does make it a cakewalk for me to do this show. Man, it's like pulling teeth when I'm talking to myself, but when I got you to talk to, it's a pleasure. All right, so a replay tomorrow night of Monday Night Trivia, and then live Monday Night Trivia next Monday night. And until then, that pretty much is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But again, above all, I thank you for calling. Makes my life so much easier. So do it again next week. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.